The world's biggest oil tanker company is asking for a more aggressive military approach to piracy off Somalia. The acting chief of Frontline Limited told the news agency AFP that his company was having serious talks about avoiding the Horn of Africa altogether. The Somali pirates who hijacked the Saudi oil supertanker Sirius Star this week are demanding $40 million worth of ransom within a 10-day deadline. The man who runs Britain's Navy, Admiral Sir Jonathan Band, was in Sydney today giving a talk at the Lowy Institute. I asked him about how the world's navies could confront the growing piracy problem.
Over the last 2 years, the piracy issue off Somalia has grown and grown. It's got to the level now where, frankly, either the size of the target, namely this week a VLCC, or it's involving in what I call national interests. I mean, we're now getting the sort of reaction which, frankly, I think we should be getting. I mean, clearly, navies are there to deal with things like pirates within the legal basis of the country they represent, and I think we'll be seeing more and more of that happening.
So there's been an argument, has there, from navies over some time towards governments that we should be doing more?
I'm not sure it's an argument. I mean, I think in the end, you know, armed forces of democracies, you know, respond to missions given by politicians. Now, what makes politicians think various things are more important or less is, you know, is the political process. I mean, I think it is fair to say that navies in the world believe they have a role to deal with pirates, have the capability to do with that, if that is in the national interest. Now, clearly, you know, the United Kingdom, you know, one small piracy issue in the Pacific is not in the UK's national interest. But I think when one starts to see the level of attacks and indeed the type of targets they're going for, as a serious maritime nation, this has got to stop, and that's why the UK government is acting now.
So what do you do? What does the world do about it? A very large crude carrier is a sort of floating bomb, isn't it? It's really dangerous.
Well, I mean, I think this is piracy. I think it's quite clear from the sort of ransom attack. I mean, basically what they're doing is ransoming crews and cargo. So it is piracy, but it's criminal activity. And so you've got to initially stop them. If you find someone doing it, you arrest them and you put them through the court of law. It's no different to any other set of bad guys. It has this sort of romantic sort of ring about it.
Court of law where, though?
Well, you've got to obviously have an agreement, like we have in lots of international cases. I mean, we do a lot of anti-drugs work around the world, and we have arrangements with countries where we will take our evidence and they will push them through their legal system. And, you know, that is what will now start happening over piracy. I mean, I won't talk about the detail of that because this stuff is being negotiated at the moment.
But how much international coordination is needed?
Well, in the end, there's a level of international coordination, which, as you probably know, there's been two UNSCRs recently, pleading countries to make sure that their response to piracy is more overt. That, I think, we're now seeing. We've got the World Food Programme ships being escorted. We've got ships now doing deterrence missions. You've now got a NATO force there. European Union, are now setting up a campaign. So we will see that, and part of that will be deterrence. Some of that will be stopping it. Some of that will be making sure that we deal with the individuals. I mean, the frustrating thing about Somalia, of course, is that you're in an ungoverned space. And normally, you know, you would deal with the authority in the country. And, of course, the Somalian governmental system, as you know, is pretty raggedy.
Is it a major threat, or is it just a distraction from what should be the real business of navies?
I mean, I think navies obviously there for many reasons, depending on the policy of your country. I mean, the Royal Navy is there to take part in, you know, government-directed, high-intensity operations if required. But day-to-day, I believe navies' inherent job is constabulary in nature, and that is to go around the world in conjunction with friends to stop illegal activity, piracy, drug smuggling, WND movements, and that is what, you know, that is naval peacekeeping day on day. So I think it's entirely legitimate work. It's something well within our capabilities to do.
Finally, you mentioned a list of failures to predict, ranging from the fall of the Berlin Wall, right through the Falkland Islands, the First Gulf War, and so on and so on. If we're so bad at predicting things, how can you actually plan for a force like a navy? I mean, what decisions can you make with any certainty?
Well, I think you look back in history. I mean, I'm not saying we shouldn't try and predict. I'm not saying we shouldn't have force plans, and we all do have force plans, and we run scenarios, you know, what's it likely to be, and that's all very useful. But I think often for military activity, history is as important as prediction.
Meaning?
Meaning what have you happened to do in the last 30 years which you didn't expect to do, and maybe we roll that forward.
So there's a lot that you hadn't expected.
And well, I think it's not just us. I mean,
it's
I think
just expect the unexpected.
I mean, this is not a sort of British point. This is a point. I mean, I think, you know, who else predicted the Falklands? Who else predicted exactly when the Cold War went down? Who else predicted Gulf War I? You know, as we were all going to the Olympics, did we expect the incident in Georgia to happen? You know the answer as well as I do.
Britain's first Sea Lord Admiral Sir Jonathan Band.